Thank you, Pastor David, for this introduction. I'm very honored to be here. And, I just want to say thank you to everyone here. And I was just praying this morning. The Lord was showing me His healing power just all over the church today, this morning. I believe God is going to continue to do something powerful here. And I'm very thankful for Pastor David. We spend time together. We have coffee together. And he speaks into my life. He's a spiritual father. And it is my prayer that God raises many pastors like Pastor David. When I look at children running in the church, it makes me wonder what the church is going to look like in 20 years. In the way that we're going, the way the gospel is being preached from the pulpit, it worries me a little bit. But it is my prayer that God raises up people who is going to preach the gospel, a balanced gospel, a gospel that is sounded gospel, a gospel that has just that balance, that grace with accountability, and also flows with the gifts of the Spirit. Harvest is a church that, unlike any other I've ever seen here in this area. And I'm very thankful for this church because there's such a balance with the gifts of the Spirit and the Word of God. And you don't see that everywhere. I've been in many churches. I've been in churches overseas. But this is a very rare combination. And so this is a church that strives to be like heaven. And I'm very thankful for being here. And so thank you, Pastor David. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the ministry. William, he was just teasing me this morning. He said, if I fall asleep, just wake me up. He was just giving me a word of encouragement. So, which is good. But I've been praying, and there is something that I want to talk about. I have some notes here, but I don't know how much of the notes I'll be following, because I was praying this morning. The Holy Spirit was just speaking to me many different things. But my main text is Mark chapter 1, verse 15. This is right where Jesus begins his public ministry. And he talks about something that's very, very interesting, and which is really the heart of his messages. Everything he talks in the Gospels, everything he talks about, that's the very heart of his message. And chapter 1, verse 15 says, "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." And it's interesting here, just before I begin here, that he doesn't say repent because hell is at hand. He says, repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. That's very interesting because if you see the Gospels, there's this kingdom language. There's what is the kingdom of God? If you read the Gospels, the term kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven combined show up 108 times in the four Gospels. So the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are the focal point of Jesus' message. When Jesus was teaching, he used to say, and the kingdom is like this. Half of his parables were like this. He said, and the kingdom of God is like this. In the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about the kingdom. When he was resurrected from the dead, and when he came back, he was preaching for 40 days, he was talking about the kingdom. Everything Jesus said was about the kingdom of God. And it's really interesting that there is John, the Apostle John, he has an idea of the kingdom, that the kingdom is coming, the kingdom is in the future. However, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they have a different focus on the kingdom. The term kingdom in the original language is not necessarily mean, does not necessarily talk about a territory, does not necessarily talk about a realm. But they are talking about an activity, the kingdom of God as an activity, something that takes place in the present, something that just happens. So it just amazes me that Reinhard Bonnke's main message is that when you preach the gospel becomes an event, and the gospel just happens. So that's what the kingdom is. The kingdom of God is something of the present. It's not something just of the future, not just something that's coming. It's something that's right here, right now. The disciples asked Jesus, show us your kingdom. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you, is within you. It's not just something that's in the future, but something that's inside of us. So it's really interesting that this terminology, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, shows up. They have such an importance, in the Gospels and throughout the whole Scriptures. So it's interesting also to see that the concept of the kingdom of God, it starts with really Abraham. God tells Abraham, through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. So every single Jew grows up thinking about the kingdom. When they were in exile, the prophets talked about the kingdom being restored. Everything was about the kingdom. So when Jesus showed up in preaching the kingdom of God, he's preaching this politically charged atmosphere where people were expecting the kingdom of God to come. But what Jesus is saying here is that it's not necessarily a realm of the future, but something of the present, because one time they accused Jesus of casting out demons by the power of the devil. Remember that. And Jesus says, if I cast out the devil by the power of Beelzebub, then he goes on and he says, but if it's by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. So it's something of the present. It's not something of the future. A lot of Christians, they live with the mentality that the kingdom of God is just going to come in the future. They live in the future, but they never think of the present. They always live in the future. It's good to have hope. It's good to have all that, but we need to understand that the kingdom of God is something that we carry inside of us, and it's an activity of God. So when we pray, let your kingdom come and let your will be done, we're not just praying that the future will come to pass in our lives, but we are praying that the reign of God, that the rule of God will take place inside of us and will take place in the situations that surround us at that very specific moment. So when we pray, we just don't pray believing that's gonna happen. We pray knowing that's already happening at that moment. So it's really interesting that I was in Nigeria my first time, and I had seen miracles before in Brazil, many miracles in my church. My former pastor, he was kicked out from second grade because he tried to stab his teacher. So he was a very problematic kid, as you can see. So so he didn't know how to read or how to write. He doesn't know how to read well or anything like that. And he became a very dangerous guy in Rio. But one day, his sister was preaching a gospel to him. And he said, if you continue, I'm going to shoot you in your face. So he was just holding a gun to her face. And then she just said, just try it, because the one who is in me is greater than the one who is in you. So when she said that, the gun dropped. And then she said again, and he said again, try. I'm gonna kill you if you keep telling me that. And then she said, try it. So he just like right, just like trying to point his gun at her. And then, but his hands just fell over again. And the third time, he just couldn't even move his arm. Long story short, he got saved. And I mean. And God started using him like in amazing ways. He's the type of person, when he gives a word of knowledge, he's so specific. He looks at you, he tells you the street that you live in, he tells names of your family members, he tells things of specific things that's gonna happen in 3 days from now, things that specific, you know. And I got the opportunity to serve him, so that's why sometimes when people say, not here, you know, but sometimes I hear people giving me words and stuff, and I'm like, oh, okay, what's going on here, you know? But so God uses him like in such a miraculous ways. We had services like 5 hours long, 5 hours long, not because people were just worshiping, not just people because people were just in those emotions, but because the gifts of the Spirit were in full operation in his life. He would call out people and things like that, and people would just like leave wheelchairs and all that kind of stuff. So it's amazing. So just the kingdom of God just happening just in my city in Rio. So when I went to Africa my first time, I didn't know what to expect. It was pretty amazing that when I went to Africa my first time, and I just didn't have money to go. So, but my dad's girlfriend, my dad is not saved, and his girlfriend is not saved either, and she's involved in a different religion, you know. So, but she said, Leo, you need to go there. You need to go. So she sponsored me to go there. So I'm flying to Nigeria, and I was like thinking, wow, you know, when did, like, the devil's paying my way here, you know? So I think God wants me to see something. And so I'm there standing in the platform, and I was like, I see all that sea of people, you know, when they say, wave your hands, but there's like that sea of people just like, you know, just waving their hands and just like amazing. I was like, wow. And all of a sudden, I'm standing there in that platform, and it's almost like I could see that huge cloud of witnesses standing there, just like looking down at us, and just I could see it's almost like God is smiling at us over that massive harvest of souls. And then all of a sudden, on Saturday night, when they are preaching and they are praying for a massive outpouring of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you see hundreds of thousands of people speaking tongues for the very first time, and all of a sudden you see just like wheelchairs going up, and all of a sudden like children who are deaf and dumb coming up to the platform just speaking for the very first time. And you cannot make those things up, you know. It just happens. And it's just like the kingdom of God coming, you know. And I'm convinced that the kingdom of God just happens is when we preach the gospel. I was sitting there, and it's not so much the person who is holding the microphone. So we honor the man of God who is preaching the gospel. We honor the ministry. We honor the team. But the Holy Spirit is so committed to the work of the Great Commission that once you preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit grabs that word, and he makes it happen. He makes it happen. The kingdom of God comes, but you have when you preach the gospel, and the gospel happens. I remember I was flying to Kenya, and the air conditioning of our plane, it just broke, and I was like, "Oh, great!" And so they rebooked my flight, and I was gonna fly to Turkey or something like that. I was like, "No, I don't want to fly through Turkey, because it's just like you go like from here to Turkey and Turkey back to Kenya." I said, "No, I don't want to do that. It's just too much." So they put me in another flight. So I'm flying to London now, and this Jewish family comes in and they sit next to me. And the guy who was sitting next to me, his name is Samson. And I was like, wow, Samson. And I started talking to him. Samson, you know, like, I love the Torah, man. I said, yeah, really? Do you read the Torah? I said, yes, every day. And I said, wow. I said, yeah, I love Moses. I said, wow, do you really love Moses? I said, yeah, man. And then it's just like, I love Samson, man. He killed more people in his death than in his entire life. And I said, wow, really? And then he turns to his family and he starts speaking Hebrew and pointing to me like and saying, oh, Torah, Torah, something like that. So and then we kept talking. And he was like, Leo, how do you know these things? Is your father Jewish? I said, yes, yes, he is. I said, he was born in Bethlehem. And I was like, he was like, seriously? I said, yeah, man. How about your mom? No, my mom is not Jewish. No, no, it's totally fine. It's totally fine. And we were talking. I said, Leo, seriously, how do you know these things? Is your dad taught you, or how did that work? And then I said, Samson, there is this Jewish man. He changed my life. Oh, yeah, really? What is his name? His name is Yeshua. Oh, Yeshua. It's a common name, right? And then I said, and Yeshua HaMashiach, which is like Jesus is the Messiah. And then he got it. No, 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 no. We don't we don't think Jesus is the Messiah. We don't think he was the Messiah. No, 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 no. And then I said, Samson, our perception of him doesn't change who he is. In his name, blind eyes are opened, deaf ears are opened, and people are raised from the dead. And he looks at me, he says, have you seen this happening? I said, yes, with my own eyes. And I gave him a story. I said, Samson, he's here in this airplane. Would you like to meet him? And then he looks at me, he said, why not? So I said, grab my hand. So he grabbed my hand and I started praying with him. And then all of a sudden I opened my eyes. And then his hands are up in the air. And then his eyes are closed. And man, and then he said, I told him, Samson, what you're feeling right now is Yeshua knocking at the door of your heart. If you open it, your life will never ever be the same again. Would you like to receive him today as your true Messiah, as your Savior? And then he said, yes, yes, I want to. So we prayed together. I led him to the Lord. As we were leaving the airplane, he said, Leo, I'll see you up there. Yeah. See? See, the kingdom of God just happens when but you have to activate it. You know, the kingdom of God is within us. All we have to do is to walk, just to activate that by faith. And I remember I was in the Cree Nation in Canada, and my friend asked me to pray for the offering in Portuguese because they wanted me to listen Portuguese, how it sounds. So I said, yeah, sure, great. So I grabbed the mic and I just started praying for the offering in Portuguese. And there was this lady, she couldn't move her knees. And the Holy Spirit just touched her and she started moving her knees. And and then she starts walking. And then everybody, whoa, whoa, whoa. So the kingdom of God is not restricted to... I know sometimes we place people up too high. You know, that man of God, that person, and that person, and that person. But the kingdom of God is activated by faith through the Holy Spirit. You don't have to... It's not that specific person. We honor everyone in the kingdom of God. But you preach the gospel, and the gospel just happens. You don't have to do the work of the Holy Spirit. That's his job. All you have to do is just to preach the gospel, because the power of God doesn't come from you. It comes from the gospel. Paul says, and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to whoever believes. So the source of power is the gospel. It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from us. So it is very important that we have this kingdom mentality, that just understand what is the kingdom of God and just walk in that revelation. You know, it's interesting that when I tell people what God called me to do, and some people just tell me, you know, Leo, I think that's way too much, you know, and they try to tell me, you know, you should you should not do that, you know, just, you should do differently, you know. When I tell people that I want to do mass evangelism, they like, they look at me, and they're like, as if there's something wrong with that. So, and which is fine, but in my mind, I think, how is that not possible, you know? When people start doubting and saying, okay, how is that possible? In my mind, how is that not possible? Because the same power that shaped the very edges of the universe, the same power that resurrected Christ from the dead abides within us. All that we need is inside of us. The kingdom of God is inside of us. All that we need is within us. So it's just like we don't need anything else, but of course, we need the body of Christ, but everything that we need is inside of us. Everything that you need is inside of you. So it's interesting that I told someone, I hear this often, you know, people tell me, Leo, you know, maybe you should, like, when I talk about missions, they talk like, yeah, you should just go from village to village, you know, just show the Jesus movie. When I tell them I just want to do crusades and things like that. But it's just like, it's impossible. And I tell them, even if God didn't call me to do that, he would still honor it because it is the Great Commission. It is his word. Even if I am mistaken, God will still honor it because that's the Great Commission. It doesn't really matter who is preaching. It only matters that it is the gospel that's being preached. So another story, I was with a guy called Todd White. I don't know if you heard of him. So my first time when I was with him, I was in Reinhardt's School of Evangelism. And my mom, she had cancer at the time. She was in Brazil. She's still in Brazil. She never left Brazil. So so she was in the hospital. The cancer had was back on her body. She's not a believer either. And we were there. Bonky was just telling us how he does crusades in Africa, everything. Giving logistics and everything. And I was sponsored to be there. So another reason why I was like, man, I think God really wants me to do something with this, you know? So I'm there, and all of a sudden, my mom sends me a message and saying, Leo, you know, I'm in the hospital. I love you. And she didn't even ask for prayers because she's not even at that point, you know? Not yet. She said, yeah, I just love you. Just want to let you know that I love you. I said, oh, you know, don't worry. I'll be praying for you. And so I came. I was talking to Todd White. And I said, hey, Todd, could you just pray for my mom? She's in the hospital in Brazil. And she has cancer. And it's a very delicate surgery because one of the tumors was near her heart. So It was not an easy situation. So he just grabbed my hands and he said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And all of a sudden, I just felt like almost like the kingdom of God is just like overtaking me in that peace. Like all of a sudden, I was like, wow, something happened here. So 2 days later, my mom sends me a message saying, Leo, I'm nervous. You know, I'm really nervous because the doctors are making me nervous. There's something going on. And I said, well, don't worry, you know, I'm praying and stuff. That's one of the worst things we can tell people who are sick, you know, like, oh, yeah, don't worry, you know. So, but I said it anyways. But so she's there in the hospital, and all of a sudden she sends me a message, and she says, Leo, you know, they're nervous because they cannot find anything anymore. So she sent back home completely healed, and she's not even saved, you know. But God is not a respecter of people. You know how much more he's going to do for us who are his children. You know, healing is the his children's bread. Healing is ours. My goodness, I was in my room, and I was just praying. There's a difference between praying for something and praying some things through, you know. I was just in my room, and I was praying, just spending a time with the Lord. My I don't know if I'm gonna pronounce this right. My aunt Teresa, my grandma's sister, my great aunt, she was in coma in the hospital, and they said she was gonna die. So the whole family was there, like just like saying goodbye. And I was like, wow, you know, she's not saved. She cannot die like this. I don't want my family, you know, nobody to perish. So I'm in my room praying. And then I was like, Lord, can you please heal her? And then he tells me, whatever you wanted me to do. So I'm praying in my room. And all of a sudden, I just felt like dominion, you know. I just felt like there's something that all of a sudden I was not asking God to heal my to heal Teresa. All of a sudden I felt dominion, and I felt I could just speak to that, and it was just gonna happen. So after a while I was just like, Auntie Teresa, in the name of Jesus, wake up. And so I just said it. And the next day when I called my grandma, because I call her every Friday to see how she's doing, and she tells me, Leo, you're not gonna believe what just happened. You know, Teresa just woke up yesterday. Yesterday. So what are the odds? You know, the kingdom of God is really activated by faith. You know, faith, Reinhard Bonnke says that when you do business with men, you use money. But when you do business with God, you use faith. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of heaven. Faith activates, releases the kingdom of heaven and everything that heaven has for you. Is there sickness in heaven? Is there poverty in heaven? Is there lack in heaven? If you think about that, is there sorrow in heaven? But of course, through this through life, we're gonna go through those situations. But the kingdom of God is something extraordinary. It's something that is just is something of the present. So many people, they just live like in the hope of the future. They just they don't have any expectations of the kingdom happening in their very present, which is really sad. But God wants us to live in the kingdom every day of our lives, every day. I know some people, they have some reservations. They think, well, if God is sovereign and if he wants to do, he's going to do it anyways. No, the Bible says, if you do this, I will do that. You know, God's promises are conditional. If my people who call by my name humble themselves, it's just, there are conditions in the Bible that if you activate your faith, then you can definitely release the kingdom of heaven. It's just amazing. I remember I was in Brazil, and my pastor, really, he never went to seminary. You know, he cannot read or do anything. So he cannot preach, really. And I mean, he's just a bad preacher. That's just the truth. You know, you hear him, you're just like, oh, here he goes, you know. which encourages me, because it was like, wow, you know, God doesn't even see that, you know, like, so I can be a bad preacher also. It's okay, because it's really the Holy Spirit who does everything. So it encourages me. He's there, and the day before, I was at church, and my pastor said, Leo, you're going to preach, all of a sudden, like, in the spot, and it was an Assemblies of God church, and in Brazil, Sunday night is the big night, you know. Sunday morning is like Sunday school, but Sunday night is when everyone goes to the main service. So all of a sudden, my pastor calls me, and he said, no, Leo, you're going to preach. God told me you're going to preach today. I was like, okay. I was like, on the spot, you know. So I don't even remember what I talked about. But at the end of the message, somebody comes to me and says, he gives me a word of wisdom, you know, a prediction of the future. And he says that the next day, God was going to surprise me. He was going to give me a surprise. So my family, again, they don't go to church or anything. But the next day, they decided to go with me. And my grandma, she couldn't walk, she couldn't sit, she couldn't sleep, because she fell from the stairs and her back was completely messed up, completely messed up. She got like 2 surgeries on her back, and she couldn't do anything. She was like in deep pain. And my pastor there, again, who doesn't even speak like Portuguese well, but thank God he doesn't see that kind of stuff. He all of a sudden he receives a word of knowledge. He says, "Who is this woman here?" Because this is like a huge auditorium, you know, because the people, we couldn't feed the people in the church, so we had to rent a separate place to host these services. So he said, "Who is this woman? You have a terrible pain in your back, and you are here, and the devil is telling you, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here." And my grandma just raises up her hand, and my pastor comes to her, and he says, "Do you have faith to be healed?" And then she says, "I'm scared." And then he said, "Well, but I do. In the name of Jesus, be healed." And it was just that, you know. And then he said, "Run." This is a 70-plus-year-old lady who couldn't even move or anything. So she starts taking off, you know, in the church, and then just running. And then the church is just like, you know, and my dad is looking at that just like, "Wow, that's so wild. What's going on here?" So the very next day, she was like doing grocery shopping. She was bringing just like, she had bags on her hands. And then she said, "Wow, I just had the best night of my life." You know, the kingdom of God, it just happens. You know, just it happens when you release yourself to God and you just give yourself to God. The kingdom of God is released through the gifts of the Spirit, you know. And just before I say a few more things, and I want to pray with you also. You know, it's very interesting. When Jesus said, "Follow me," he was actually telling his disciples, "Be like me." In the Jewish old tradition, the meaning of discipleship was very interesting. The Jewish people, they grew up reading the Torah, studying the Torah until they were 12 years old. And then after that, they followed a profession. They just had a profession they learned with their families, you know. And then those who were more passionate about the Torah, they would go back to the synagogues and just hear the rabbis speak and talk about the prophets. And those who were even more passionate, they would join the Talmudim, which was like it was like the elite of the best students of the synagogue. And the best of the best of the best would try to talk to the rabbi and say, "Please let me follow you." And the rabbi would look at them and he would say, he would test them, and if he thought they were worthy of following him, he would say, "Okay, follow me." And after a period of time, the rabbi would say, "Okay, now you can go ahead and just start your own community." And it's interesting because if you see the way Jesus recruited his disciples was completely different. You know, he saw a simple man who didn't make to the Talmudim. You know, he saw, it's like going to Regent, and you go you get a bachelor's, and then you get a master's, and then you get a doctorate, and then you try to follow the dean. You know, it's like that. You know, but Jesus came to these people, and he said, "Follow me." And that means literally, be like me. That's why when Jesus is walking on waters, Peter looks at him and says, "If it's you, let me go to you." Because he knew if he was to be like Jesus, he would have the same power to walk on the water. So that's why he starts walking in the water, because the disciples are supposed to be like Jesus. So Peter went and he walked, not just on water, you know, he walked upon a word, come, C-O-M-E, come, when Jesus said come, and he walked. So that's what it means to be a disciple in those days. Jesus chose like simple fishermen, you know. These people didn't make they didn't have the best GPAs in the synagogues, you know, but they just, and Jesus, it was the opposite, because they didn't ask Jesus to follow them, to follow him. Jesus asked them to follow him. So, because it's not so much your ability to bring the kingdom of God is the ability that is your surrender to Him is what God can do through you that makes the difference. So it really doesn't matter if you have a degree or not, but it's really a matter if you are willing to let God release His kingdom through you, that's gonna happen. I know sometimes people just look at great men of God and see mighty signs and wonders and miracles, but the truth is, if you're willing to have those things, He's willing to give them to you. He's willing to give them to you. Paul said, seek the best gifts. He said that in 1 Corinthians 12. And, you know, Jesus said, the things that I do, you shall do also in even greater things because I go to my Father. So He didn't say maybe, He didn't say perhaps, maybe there's a chance of you doing that, you know, He didn't say that. He said, you shall do those things in my name. So he was expecting His disciples to do those things. And nowadays, the truth is, we live in the age of a powerless Pentecost. You know, we see more compromise than conviction. And we see people talking about a power they no longer experience. Not here, thank God. Many other places, they talk stories of the old. Yeah, when my grandfather, you know, when my mom back in the day, you know, no, God is alive. God is still alive to this day and is willing to do the same things. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're just gonna pray also just a little bit, and I have a few more minutes, but I just want to say that the kingdom of God has to be, you have the power to release the kingdom of God inside of you and outside of you, and you have to be willing to do that. And it's awesome. When I was 13 years old, 13, you know, not a mature guy, you know, I'm 30 now, I'm an old man now, so, but, so my life was over when I turned 30, but when I was 13, no, I'm just kidding, when I was 13, I was in my church, and in Brazil, and I had an amazing experience. The Lord just opened my eyes, my spiritual eyes, and I had a vision inside of a church. You know, I couldn't believe I was seeing what I was seeing. There was a guy preaching, and then he was giving a word to somebody. God is going to give you a car. And then he described the car. It was a white car. He said, oh, yeah, it's he said everything about the car. And in my mind, I was like, wow, this is wild, you know. God gives cars to people, you know. How is that even possible, you know? So I'm looking at the guy who was receiving that word. All of a sudden, I see this figure of a man. And then I was like, no, I'm not really seeing this. But I couldn't see his face because it was shining so bright. And his clothes were white. I was like, no, I'm not seeing this. I'm not talking about when I close my eyes and I see things in the spirit. I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about when your eyes are opened and you're seeing things. And I looked to my right, I looked to my left, and then he was standing there, and I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? I'm going crazy here. I was like, I closed my eyes, and I opened them again, and there he was. I was like, wow, you know, it's such a reality. The kingdom of God is a reality. It's here. It's more tangible than the physical realm. So He just at an age of 13 years old, so that made me realize that's not how much, it doesn't depend on me, it doesn't depend on how mature I am in the kingdom, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that we are living in the days of Joel, when he said, in the last days he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. And these are those days. We have that power. We have that power. We are not the hunted. We are the hunters. You know, we're not the victims. We are the victors. So we have to take over. Like Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So we are called to advance the kingdom of God and to be ambassadors of His kingdom. We are called to walk in the miraculous. That's supposed to be normal to us. I remember in Brazil when there was no miracles in a service, there was something something wrong. You know, something, I was like, there's something wrong. Like, my pastor would call out people, you know, people who are like, and he was like, he was bold. He would point out to people and say, you know, not, again, he didn't go to school. So he would just just say, you know, and some people would get mad and stuff and leave the church. But just because he didn't have much knowledge about that. But it's just... you know, the kingdom of God is a reality, and God really doesn't see where you are. He just sees that he wants to release that unto you. And then just before I finish, and we're going to pray, I was in Canada. I had been invited to speak in this conference in the Cree Nation and the First Nations, just Native Americans in Canada. I know it's Native Americans, but... in Canada, but you know, it was just one thing. It's their land. They don't even need passport to come here. You know that, right? They just show their card, and they just come here, and then they have like dual citizenship and things like that. So I was there in this gymnasium, and then all of a sudden, I just preached a message, and I'm sure it was not a great message, but the thing is that it doesn't really matter because, I mean, it does matter, of course, but at the end, the Holy Spirit was just moving in such a mighty way. I was preaching that passage of Ezekiel when God takes Ezekiel into the river, and interesting that after I preached, there was a lady came up to the service, and she was crying and crying and crying, saying that she had a dream that she had seen the Cree people walking into the river, you know, just like that passage. So after this service, you know, so I was speaking things I had no clue that God was already speaking to them. So I'm there, and then I called people forth, and then they came, and then I said, you know, I'm gonna do something here that I've seen in Africa, you know, I'm going to count from 1, 2, 3, and then we're just going to give the biggest shout of hallelujah you've ever given in your whole life. And people are like, whoa, what's going on? So they came forth. You know, I said, 1, 2, 3. And then the whole gymnasium went like, oh, no, hallelujah. So just like huge noise. So interesting. What I didn't know, what happened was like that very same night, you know, two things happened during that time. This is a big reservation, like 10,000 people. It's like it's a city. And on the other side of the reservation, there was a lady, and she was just at home with her child, a little child. And all of a sudden, she calls her sister, who was in the meeting, saying, what's going on? What's going on right there? Because my little child just hears angels singing here in our living room. And so that made her go to the meeting that night. And then the other thing is that the pastor's daughter, who was away from the Lord, she was in the cabins, in the woods. And at that very same time, when we were just calling forth the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit spoke to her and saying, you have to come back to me. You know, you have to come back to my ways. So that very same day, at very same moment, she had reconciled with the Lord. And she came to this night service just giving her life to Jesus. So it's interesting that my point is, we try to preach the gospel the best way we can. But my point is, the Holy Spirit is so eager to fulfill the Great Commission. He's so eager to heal people. He's so eager to save people that he really is not, he's not bound by our limitations. As we preach the gospel, he goes forth and he makes it happen. So if you want to see people being healed, preach Jesus as a healer. If you want to see people being baptized in the Holy Spirit, preach Jesus as the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. If you want to see people saved, just preach Jesus as a savior, and you're going to see those results. You're going to see the kingdom of God coming, and you're going to see the kingdom of God just happening before your own eyes. So let's just stand for a little bit, and I just want to pray a little bit with you.
I just feel like we need to do this. You know, I've been hanging out with him for some time now. and had just the instinctive sense that he had an amazing call in his life. And we talk about here at this in this house, that, you know, the thing that Jesus laid down that was so important about he who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet receives the prophet's reward. And it essentially means that when you acknowledge that God has moved mightily in someone's life and gifted them in an area, especially the fivefold, that when you honor them in that respect, that's the grace you receive. I believe that God has given this young man an amazing gift of evangelism, a fivefold gift. So, you know, I just want to take a minute and acknowledge that gift. I don't know about y'all, but I want to receive that grace today. And so if you want to receive that grace today from him, I'm going to give him the mic back, and I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to put my hands out because I'm hungry for the gift this man carries. And so, my brother, before you do anything else, would you release that gift over us today, your grace? Would you do that? Okay.
Jonathan's like doing it in Portuguese. Before I do that, you just there's just this one thing I want to let you know. Many people think the Holy Spirit is like a frightened dove. You know, they think like if you do something, he just disappears, you know, from you. But the Holy Spirit is not a frightened dove. He's God. And the church in Corinth, they were so messed up, but they were powerful, Paul says, at the same time. So the Holy Spirit is not bound by the things we do, even though they are important. He's not bound to that. So we're going to pray. And so just for you to let you know that when the disciples received the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, they were sitting, actually. They were not even praying. The Holy Spirit just came, if you read the passage carefully. So they were just sitting there, and the Holy Spirit just filled that place. So the Holy Spirit is God. And if there, whatever there is something in your life, if you're sick in your body, just place your hands on you. Or if there's someone in your family, if there's something bothering you, we're just going to call forth the kingdom of God upon that situation. And I know that God will come through that. So let's just pray. I have a mic, but you have a voice, so feel free just to lift up your voice. Calabre de vador gnusia calaprobi mistergi surgi de camantu brinagarrachuria dera probi mistergi elemanto elevasia copla furgi. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you, Father, for you're greater than the greatest, stronger than the strongest, richer than the richest, wiser than the wisest, older than the oldest. Father, we thank you for your kingdom is here. Your kingdom is now, Father. Your kingdom is coming. I thank you, Father, for the faith that you have given us. I thank you for you have given us faith to overcome sin and to overcome the world. I thank you for you have given faith for us, Father, to enter your kingdom, to stand before your presence, bold and confident, Lord, for we stand in the righteousness of Jesus. So, Father, we just stand before you this day, and we cry out to you, Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done right now, Father, in our lives as it is in heaven. So, Father, we thank you, and we release the kingdom of God right now. Release Holy Spirit healing right now. I curse cancer in the name of Jesus. I curse every sickness right now. I command every sickness to go in the name of Jesus. I speak to doubt to cease and to go now in Jesus' name. I break the power of the devil right now in the name of Jesus. I break the power of lack in the name of Jesus. I break curse in the name of Jesus. I command every spirit, evil spirit, to go now in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare the kingdom of God upon this house, upon this nation, upon our lives right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, for we know that your word cannot and will not fail. So, Father, right now, now. We thank you. Release your kingdom upon us right now, Father. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in our lives as it is in heaven. Em nome de Jesus, Pai, move os céus e a terra e trabalha, Senhor, em nossas vidas. E repreende todo o mal agora em nome de Jesus. Espírito de Deus, que o Senhor venha sacudir esse lugar com o teu poder e a tua graça. Em nome de Jesus. Em nome de Jesus. Amém. So guys, just as we leave, we're just going to end the service. But I just want to say that this week, you know, just walk in that confidence in the fullness of the kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God depends on how much you act. The book of Acts is called Acts because the apostles took action. It's just they acted. So if you take action, it's going to happen. So you have to take action. So if you take action, it's going to happen because the kingdom of God is upon you. So, Father, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this Sunday, Lord. And we just pray for this week, Lord, that you give us souls, Father. Give us souls or let us die. Give us souls or take our souls, Father. So, Father, just thank you. Go before us, Lord. Make the crooked ways straight. And bless us this day, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.